Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson on what I'm calling general eschatology. I'm piggybacking on a Westminster Shorter Catechism lesson on question and answer 38. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? At the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. This lesson on Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 38, gives us an opportunity to look at the subject of general eschatology, or a view of the end times. What happens when Christ comes a second time in glory? I have on the whiteboard two diagrams, and in connection with these two diagrams, I want to look at four different texts. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, John 5, 28 and 29, Acts 24, 15, and Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6. The first diagram is the popular premillennial view of the end of time. And the second diagram is the so-called amillennial view, which I subscribe to, and to which many Reformed individuals also subscribe to. I want to first of all read the four texts so that you hear them, and then go back a second time and review the four texts with reference to the first diagram, and then third, I'll review the four texts with regard to the second diagram. So first of all, please listen to these four texts. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm actually beginning at the end of verse 1 and reading into verse 3. Listen to what the book of Daniel says. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of life. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. That's Daniel chapter 12. Now listen to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is here. It's important to get that, and now is here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to a resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. And then Acts 24 and verses 14 and 15. It's verse 15 that I'm particularly interested in. Acts 24, verses 14 and 15. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down in the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And then finally, Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6. Again, I'm going back and breaking into verse 4 to begin the reading. Listen to Revelation 20. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, and they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And so there are the four texts, and as you heard them read, you may think at first glance that basically the texts support this first view in which there is a first resurrection and a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ and then an entrance into the eternal state. The second diagram indicates at Christ's second coming there will be what we call a general resurrection and then an entrance into the eternal state. Now let's go back and go through the text the second time and look at this first diagram. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of life. The emphasis in Daniel chapter 12 is upon those whose names are written in the book of life, and they will be delivered, says Daniel. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. At that time, Christ will come a second time in glory. And Daniel chapter 12 says many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Well, those who hold to this first view would say the many refers to those saints who arise at Christ's second coming. And the many of all the people in the earth, and they will arise, it says, to everlasting life. And then sometime later, those who believe in this construction would say, the wicked will rise to everlasting contempt. And so this idea, and really what's happening here, I think, is the construction of Revelation chapter 20 is being read back into Daniel chapter 12, and there's an attempt to reconcile Daniel chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 20. Well, let's go to John chapter 5 now and see what John chapter 5 has to say, looking particularly at this first diagram. John 5:25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. God the Father has given Jesus Christ life, and Jesus Christ, as the second person of the Trinity, has life within himself. And John 5:25 26 and 27 have to do with the proclamation of the gospel and the hearing of the voice of the Son of God through the proclamation of the gospel. And those who hear will live. That is, they will be regenerated and have new life in Jesus Christ. So far, so good. I don't think there's any great complaint with regard to the interpretation of the first part of this paragraph. We come to verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming. A time is coming and now is, the first part of the paragraph, and a time is coming now when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. It's not just those who are walking on the face of the earth who will hear the voice of the Son of God through the preaching of the Word, but when Christ comes a second time in glory, those who are in the tombs will hear the voice of the Son of God. We can hearken back to Lazarus, or Jesus standing before the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus in the tomb hears the voice of the Son of God. It's the same idea. When all who are in the tombs will hear the voice, hear his voice, and come out, those who have done good to a resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. So the idea here would be, Christ comes a second time in glory, and those who have done good will rise again to a resurrection of life. And then later, those who have done evil will rise to a resurrection of judgment, as we have it in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 5. Some will awake to, as Daniel says, to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. And so these two resurrections then are separated by this thousand-year reign of Christ, a literal thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. And again, it appears that the ideas in Revelation chapter 20 are being brought forward and read into John chapter 5 and read into Daniel chapter 12. Now, then we have Acts chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15. And again, it is verse 15 to which I'm particularly pointing. But listen to verses 14 and 15 once again. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. Now, here the Apostle Paul is defending himself before Governor Felix in Caesarea. And he's giving this apologetic and saying that he believes in the hope of Israel. And what is the hope of Israel? That there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And the idea here again would be that there will be a resurrection of the just, of the saints, of those doing good, and there will be a resurrection of the wicked, of the unjust, the unrighteous. And so, Acts chapter 24 and verse 15 is interpreted in the same way as Daniel 12:2 and John 5, 28 and 29. And it appears to me that there's a reading back into Acts chapter 24 and verse 15 what seems to be the proper interpretation of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. And so in this case, the first diagram, the standard by which the other texts seem to be interpreted is Revelation chapter 20. And so let's read Revelation chapter 20 once again. Now note that Revelation chapter 20 does speak of two resurrections. And I'm breaking into verse 4 once again. You listen as we read. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That is, the saints came to life and reigned with Christ. See, here's the 1,000-year period, the millennium, as it's called, the 1,000-year period. And the saints came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. You see, the wicked come to life at the end of the 1,000 years. So you can see that this would rather be the standard by which Acts 24:15, John 5:28 and 29, and Daniel 12:2, that these previous texts are interpreted. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. In other words, if you are blessed and are raised from the dead at the first resurrection, over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Those who are raised at the first resurrection are blessed of God, and the second death, that is the lake of fire, the fires of hell, have no power over those who are raised in the first resurrection. And so we have the understanding of what we call the premillennial view, that the dead in Christ, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, the dead in Christ are raised first. And the premillennialist will interpret this as the first resurrection as compared to the resurrection of the wicked after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Well, all of this seems very plausible. And why would you ever then consider this second interpretation, the idea of a general resurrection? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 12 and examine the text there once again. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of life. Again, Daniel is zeroing in on the believer. And so that's the context in which we find what Daniel has to say. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, that is, of all the people who are asleep on the face of the earth, there is a portion of those individuals who have fallen asleep, of all the people on the face of the earth, there's a portion of those who have fallen asleep. Many of those who sleep on the dust, in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, it appears that there is a group of people on the face of the earth who have fallen asleep, who have died. Of all the people who have who live on the face of the earth, there are those who are in the grave. And then many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so we maintain that of those who have died, there will be a resurrection. And why does Daniel use the term many? I think the best explanation of this is that Daniel is using a figure of speech called a synecdoche. And he's indicating the part and speaking about the part instead of the whole or in the place of the whole. A good example of this is where David speaks about being rescued from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. Well, he wasn't just rescued from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. No, he was rescued from the whole lion. But the mention of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear is a synecdoche, a part in the place of the whole. And I think this is a legitimate way to understand Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Many refers to all those who are asleep in the dust of the earth. Now, one of the reasons I'm saying this is that I'm not interpreting Daniel 12:2 by Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6. And I'm using a basic hermeneutical principle here, a basic rule of interpretation, that Revelation 20 and verses 5 and 6 happen to be a text over which there is much debate. And this has been true over the centuries. And so the interpretation of Revelation chapter 20 and verses 5 and 6 is not altogether clear. And so you should not interpret the clearer texts by the texts that are less clear. And it seems to me that Daniel is a text that is a little bit more clear than Revelation chapter 20. This should emerge as we continue our discussion. So let's go now to John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29. Now, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Now, notice that the Apostle John says all who are in the tombs. He's not saying some who are in the tombs, as though there be two separate resurrections, but he's saying that all who are in the tombs will hear the voice of the Son of God, the Son of Man, and they will come out. All will come out together. This is what the Apostle John is saying. Now, this seems to be pretty clear. Now, not only is John talking about a physical resurrection here, but in John chapter 5 and verses 25, 26, and 27, as I indicated earlier, Jesus says, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. In this case, Jesus is speaking about a spiritual resurrection, a renewal of heart, a new birth. He's speaking about regeneration and being born again. And so he's linking the new birth and spiritual resurrection with physical resurrection. And he's doing so in the same paragraph. It's important for us to see that this is the case. But now when he speaks of the physical resurrection, he says, all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. All will come out. And there will be two sides to this resurrection. The resurrection of life, those who come out of the tomb and are the sheep of Jesus Christ and those who come out of their tombs and are the goats, who are the evil, who are the wicked, who are the unrighteous. And so we say, in accordance with John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29, there is a general resurrection. This seems to be quite clear, and two sides to this general resurrection. And so I would interpret Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, which is a little difficult because of the figure of speech, the synecdoche, the word many, and interpret that text, Daniel 12, 2, by John chapter 5 and verses 26 and or 28 and 29, which is a much more clear text using that hermeneutical principle. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15. Here again, Paul is defending himself, and he is saying to Felix that he holds to the hope of Israel, which is that of the resurrection. And listen to how he puts it. He says, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust." Now notice again what the Apostle Paul says. He says there will be a resurrection. He doesn't say there will be resurrections. He says there will be a resurrection. And the resurrection will include both the righteous and the unrighteous, both the just and the unjust. And so we hold, as the Apostle Paul interprets the idea in Daniel chapter 12 and in John chapter 5, the Apostle Paul interprets this as a general resurrection, a single resurrection in which there will be two sides. There will be raised at the same time both the righteous and the wicked. Well, what do you do about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? In my previous lesson on Westminster Confession or Westminster Shorter Catechism, question answer 38, I did a little review of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says the dead in Christ will rise first. And his argument there is that those who are alive and remain when Christ comes again a second time do not have the advantage over those who have died and are resting in their graves awaiting the resurrection. No, when Christ comes a second time in glory, the dead in Christ will be raised first. That is, first before the believers who remain and those who are raised are caught up to meet Christ in the air. That's the idea in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's not the idea of two separate resurrections separated by 1,000 years. And so, again, Acts chapter 24 and verse 15 gives us the idea of a general resurrection in which both the righteous and the wicked are raised. And then we come to Revelation chapter 20. And it seems that if we take John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29 seriously, and if we take Acts 24:15 seriously, and we interpret Daniel 12:2 by John 5 and Acts 24, we're building the case, it seems to me, for a general resurrection. What then does Revelation chapter 20 teach us? Okay, breaking into verse 4 in Revelation 20. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Yes, there are those who, when they hear the voice of the Son of God, come to life. And John here is using language that has to do with the new birth. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Notice, going back in your thinking to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, that in the same paragraph, the Apostle John speaks of the spiritual resurrection of men and women, those who are dead in sin being raised to new life by being born again. He speaks of that spiritual resurrection in the same paragraph in which he speaks of the physical resurrection, those who are in the tombs and hear the voice of the Son of God. Now, I think John is doing a similar thing here. And the words, "they came to life," translate a particular Greek word that means coming to life, and it's the same Greek word that's used by Jesus in the parable of the prodigal son, when he puts in the mouth of the father who is defending having a big party for his son who has returned to him. He says, "My son who was dead is alive again." In other words, my son who was dead in sin, he was feeding himself in the pigsty, has come back to me and has new life. He is alive again. This is the same word that John uses in Revelation chapter 20 when he says they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so I maintain with others that this first resurrection has to do with spiritual rebirth. And of course, what does the Apostle Paul tell us about our status with Jesus Christ presently? We not only died with him, but we are raised with him, and we reign with him in the heavenly places. This is our status as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think this idea of the first resurrection in Revelation 20 has to do with our spiritual resurrection. Now, what about the words 1,000 years? We can take the 1,000 to be literal, or we can take the idea of 1,000 to be symbolic. And 1,000 is 10 times 10 times 10. And the number 10 often refers to a kind of perfection that we enjoy in this world in the book of Revelation. Of course, the book of Revelation is full of symbols. And I think, therefore, that the 1,000 years has to do with this present age, and that's the idea of amillennialism. We don't believe that there is a literal millennium, So we're amillennial, we're opposed to a literal millennium, but we do appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ reigns during this present age, and we reign with Him in the heavenly places. This is the idea. And as Revelation chapter 20 says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Yes, we are priests of God in this present age. And we believe in the priesthood of all believers. And we may approach our Father in Jesus Christ. The veil in the temple has been ripped in two, and we may approach as priests of God directly into the inner precincts of the Holy of Holies and approach our God. Praise be unto Him that this is the case. And the second death, that is, the lake of fire, has no power over us because we have been born again to a living hope, which is the resurrection from the dead. And so, I hold that the first resurrection is a spiritual resurrection. And if there's a first resurrection, then there's a second resurrection implied in Revelation chapter 20. And it is this general resurrection that occurs when Christ comes a second time in glory and closes out this present age and ushers in the age to come. And so we see the distinction between the so-called premillennial view, which is very popular in evangelical circles today, but I think is in fact erroneous, and we hold to the teaching of Scripture, which is the teaching of the Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger and shorter catechisms, and the Bible most importantly. And we interpret Revelation 20 in terms of John 5 and Acts 24 and understand that the Bible does teach a general resurrection. And this is under the topic of what I've called general eschatology. Thanks for listening.